This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Kia ora, you're listening to Pull Up to the Bumper with Tina Turntables on ORFM. Tonight is my interview with the amazing Tammy Nielsen. I did this on June the 6th upon the release of her third single from her album The Kingmaker. It's a song called Careless Woman, which is incredibly appropriate given the overturning of Roe versus Wade that has recently happened, and that's made many, many, many of us furious. This unfortunately was recorded before that, so otherwise I'm sure it'll be full of that. But, you know, we talk about topics obviously relating to all that sort of stuff. We talk about Dolly Parton, Bobby Gentry, and Fiona Apple, who I will be playing songs from as well, Jenny Mitchell, and Victoria Kelly, who is the composer of many of the string instruments that are on her new album. She is going to be playing down here in the Regent Theatre again on August 18th. With strings, and I am very, very much looking forward to seeing this new iteration of her work. Enjoy. There's lots of laughs, lots of silliness, and lots of really serious topics. So, yeah, hope you enjoy.
Hello. Look at that. Did you do lots of these like Zoom meetings and interviews and stuff during lockdown?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not on it like 24/7 like a lot of people have to be.
That would be really tough, actually, I can imagine.
The hardest part was because the kids were home. So trying to have like, conversations and be like, bribe them with like, you know, go watch video, you watch movies or play video games or something, and like try to have like a mountain of snacks before we like have a conversation. But yeah.
Mom's talking about okay. herself again.
Yeah, exactly. They're used to that.
There's nothing more grounding than that, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. It's so funny because they have a real, like, distinct, they get it. They get the whole.
Yeah.
But the way that they kind of process it, like, I remember when they were really tiny, it was Charlie that said to me, and he was only like 4 or 5, and he said, you know, when you're like, with us, you're Mummy, but when you're on stage, you're Tammy Nielsen.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'm always Mummy, even when I'm on stage, and you know, I'm always, but yeah, that's when I'm working. And I think they see like that change in, not in, in personality, but it's a larger than life version of Mummy, you know, and like,
oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's like what Dolly said about that she's always been in drag, you know, like that's as a performer, she has that complete separation down to the wigs, down to the all of this stuff. And yeah, I mean, you have to kind of create that to protect yourself, I imagine, as well.
You know, yeah, that's, and it's, I think it's so much a part of like your mojo as a performer as well, you know, like,
yeah,
putting that on, it's like putting on that. Almost like that confidence and boldness and empowerment, you know, that you may not have been feeling during the day or,
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. You're not going to get on stage and go, yeah, I'm just feeling really like meh.
Yeah, exactly.
I explained to like my cousin who's been brought up in America, like, spent quite a bit of time in America, that it's really funny that in New Zealand we like an insult is a try hard.
Oh, that's the like, it's like the worst thing you can be in New Zealand, which is like the whole tall poppy culture.
Yeah,
is, you know, it's seen as like confidence is almost a detriment. It's seen as like a personality flaw.
Which actually weirdly speaks to the new song that you've just released today, being the 6th of June.
Which this is, Careless Woman from Kingmaker by Tammy Nielsen.
A careless woman, she played too rough, she laughed too loud, she talked too much. be her when I grow up. Smile, smile, girl, you better smile. Show me what I want and what you're feeling on the inside. Dance, dance, girl, you better dance. Don't talk like you got any thoughts in your head. Careless, I wanna kill less. Careless, I wanna kill less. Careless, I wanna kill less. I wanna care less, a careless woman. She played too rough, she laughed too loud. She talked too much, too much, too much. She just too much. I wanna be her when I grow up. I wanna be her when I grow up. Cry, cry, you better not cry. Don't make me look bad in front of all the guys. Mine, mine, your body is mine. To play with the legislated, honey, I'll decide. I wanna care less, careless. I wanna care less, careless. I wanna care less, careless. I wanna care less. A careless woman, she played too rough, she laughed too loud, she talked too much, too much, too much. She just too much. I wanna be her when I grow up. I wanna be her when I grow up. I wanna be her when I grow up.
I love it. It's way too close to the bone lyrically for me. Mm. As for a lot of women that may have confidence in some areas or laugh too loud or speak too loud, that was like cutting. I was like, yeah, yeah. And also, what's that line? I want to care less. Great.
Mm. Absolutely. And it's, I think we all like straddle that balance of, you know, I love the idea of turning what is deemed an insult.
Yes.
As you say, like a try hard. Mm. To me, that's like a huge compliment.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather be that than like a try less.
Such a try less.
Yeah. It's like, oh, that's kind of sadder. But, but yeah, taking that insult of, oh, a careless woman to be like, oh, that's what I actually strive to be.
Yes.
Is a woman that cares less about these rules and regulations that society puts on us, or that misogyny or the patriarchy or you know, that anyone kind of imposes on you. We spend so much of our lives bound by that, and to have that freedom of like caring less about things that you shouldn't be giving so much value is the ultimate, you know, it's the ultimate goal. And the song was inspired because this old article from 1938 Parade magazine was circulating online and it was dating tips for women. In 1938, and as you can imagine, they were appalling. one of them was, you know, don't talk when you're dancing with a man. A man wants to dance. He doesn't want to hear you talk. Only a careless woman would talk, like, you know, would talk during dancing, basically. And just, wow, you know, careless woman.
You're just like, the biggest front is to state your opinions and to, yeah.
Like, how dare you, you know, like, it's just no decorum for you to voice any sort of opinion from your tiny brain. Well, all he wants you for is to hold your body while you move it for him.
Like, to some other things, doesn't it?
Yeah. And these dating tips were amazingly shocking. And so as soon as I read it and I stood up and I put my phone on, like put the voice memo on my phone, and I just started stomping and clapping and singing that song. Wow. And singing the chorus. And this was only maybe a week or two before we went into the studio to record the album. So it was not supposed to be on the album. It didn't exist yet.
Wow.
And I remember bringing it in, and I wasn't too worried because for production, I didn't want, you know, a lot of the other songs were full orchestral, mm-hmm. magical, amazing, huge arrangements.
Yeah.
But for this one, I just wanted to keep it really sparse and rhythmic and yes. Percussive.
Yeah.
Because I wanted it to be like almost like this marching band, like call to arms almost.
Yeah.
For women to care less.
Yeah. I love that. And it does, I mean, I love full noise strings and all the stuff. But there was something about hand claps and that rhythmic thing. I mean, it reminded me a bit of Queenie and Walk as well, you know, mm-hmm. and that strip back thing. And there is just something, I mean, I've definitely noticed this as a DJ. If you play a song with hand claps, people just can't help themselves. People just want to join in and they want, so it does become a call to arms because you just, like, you want.
It's this primitive human mm-hmm. thing that we can all do.
Yes.
And yes. that we can all, whether you can dance or mm-hmm. sing or not, but it's something that we can all do. Maybe not on time, but we can all do it. Throughout my albums, I've always had rhythmic, whether it was like yes. Bury My Body
yeah.
or Queenie or Walk, you know, so many. Mm. I'm always drawn to those songs that it does not have to be a full production. It's just bringing it right back down to even like Queenie was very much like a hand clap song on a playground. Mm. You know, we all can relate to it. It's something that we do at sporting events. It's something that we do to connect, you know, around the world. And so it's,
really?
And there's a couple more on this album that are similar to that as well. And I guess I wanted this album to be like a juxtaposition of those two things.
Queenie, Queenie, don't drop the ball. Queenie, Queenie, don't drop the ball. Queenie, Queenie, don't drop the ball down. Come baby, cradling on. Queenie, Queenie, don't drop the ball. Queenie, Queenie, don't drop the ball. Queenie, Queenie, don't drop the ball down. Come baby, cradling on. Chickens need feeding, dog needs a bone, bills need paying and the bank's on the phone. Dishes need washing, kids do too, man come home and he wants to woo-hoo. Queenie, Queenie, don't drop the ball. Queenie, Queenie, don't drop the ball. Queenie, Queenie, don't drop the ball down. Come baby, cradling on. Screaming from the kettle, knocking at the door. Baby kicked the bucket full of suds on the floor. Rain starts falling, clothes on the line. What's a stay-at-home mama do with all that time? Queenie, Queenie, don't drop the ball. Queenie, Queenie, don't drop the ball. Queenie, Queenie, don't drop the ball down. Come baby, cradling on. Working through the day, working through the night. Planes and trains and another missed flight. Mama gotta hustle, do another show, cause they won't play a radio on country radio. Queenie, Queenie, don't drop the ball. Queenie, Queenie, don't drop the ball. Queenie, Queenie, don't drop the ball down. Come baby, cradling on. Queenie, Queenie, don't drop the ball. Queenie, Queenie, don't drop the ball. Queenie, Queenie, don't drop the ball down. Come baby, cradling on. Queenie, Queenie, don't drop the ball. Queenie, Queenie, don't drop the ball. Queenie, Queenie, don't drop the ball down. Come baby, cradling on. Queenie, Queenie, don't drop the ball. Queenie, Queenie, don't drop the ball.
Queenie, Queenie, don't drop the ball down. Come baby, on. Another album I was listening to a lot in lockdown was Fiona Apple's Fetch the Bolt Cutters, and she does that brilliantly, you know, with there's a song called Relay that I just love, and it is just this driving rhythm, and I just loved that. It really just emboldened me, you know, her producing her album and how she did there. Nothing's following any structure. It's just creating as she does, you know, like so amazingly, very much like a jazz, almost like a jazz guru, you know?
Yeah.
And this is Fiona Apple Relay.
Evil is a relay sport when the one who's burned turns to pass the torch. Evil is a relay sport when the one who's burned turns to pass the torch. Evil is a relay sport when the one who's burned turns to pass the torch. Evil is a relay sport when the one who's burned turns to pass the torch. Evil is a relay sport when the one who's burned turns to pass the torch. Evil is a relay sport when the one who's burned turns to pass the torch. I'll resent you for being raised right. I'll resent you for being tall. I'll resent you for never getting any opposition at all. I'll resent you for having each other. I'll resent you for being so sure. I'll resent you presenting your life like a fucking propaganda brochure. And I see that you keep trying to fade me, and I love to get up in your face. But I know if I hate you for hating me, I will have entered the endless race. Evil is a relay sport when the one who's burned turns to pass the torch. Evil is a relay sport when the one who's burned turns to pass the torch. Evil is a relay sport when the one who's burned turns to pass the torch. Evil is a relay sport when the one who's burned turns to pass the torch. I'll resent you for being raised right. I'll resent you for being tall. I'll resent you for never getting any opposition at all. I'll resent you for having each other. I'll resent you for being so sure. I'll resent you presenting your life like a fucking propaganda brochure. And I see that you keep trying to bait me, and I love to get up in your face. But I know if I hate you for hating me, I will have entered the endless race. Evil is a relay sport when the one who's burned turns to pass the torch. Evil is a relay sport when the one who's burned turns to pass the torch. Evil is a relay sport when the one who's burned turns to pass the torch.
That whole freeing thing. I felt like this album was really freeing for me. It was musically and as taking the helm as producer for the first time without a co-producer.
Really? This is the first time?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice. It's
cool.
I've always produced my albums, but I've always had a co-producer because mm-hmm. I always, you know, and I think that's a really great thing. Not that I won't do that again. But it's great to have kind of that bouncing back and forth and that yes. sounding board that comes with collaborating. But for this album, it was kind of partly like, yeah, putting on my big girl pants and being brave and going, mm-hmm. I know exactly what I want for this yep. album and doing that. And so, yeah, and I think listening to people like Bobby Gentry and Fiona Apple, and you know, as much as you would think they're very opposite artists, like
musically,
they're not. They are both like innovative and before their time and didn't adhere to any rules of, you know, supposed rules of music. And
yeah.
Yeah, this is me kind of inching out of that a little bit.
That's awesome. Do you think you'll produce for other people now?
That's never been like something that I had aspired to. And
right.
But recently I produced a song for Jenny Mitchell.
Oh.
I think you've played on the show.
Yes. The Trouble Finds a Girl.
Finds a Girl. So that was kind of my first kind of
you produced that. Wow, I love that so much. It's so powerful. I have to be careful when I play it. It's got too many feels.
it's not easy listening fodder, that's for sure. Yeah, so that was kind of the first time I took the reins for someone else, and then I just actually the last 3 days I've been in studio. There's a new program for developing new young artists, and Jenny's little sisters, Nicola and Megan Mitchell, her baby twin sisters, who I've known since they literally were babies, and I feel ancient because they're 18 now. And I've just been producing them for the past 3 days.
Amazing.
For, you know, some new songs that they've written and some that we've written together. And yeah, so it's very new territory for me to do it for someone else, you know. And I'm always very hesitant because I know what I want for me, but I don't want to be the kind of producer that pushes what I want on someone else. I want to bring their vision to life. And
good producers do that, though. To me, it's like similar to directing, is that you're just providing a good, comfortable space where people can be their best.
My whole life, my dream producer was T-Bone Burnett, and he produced some of my favorite albums. And the steel guitar player legend Greg Leese was in New Zealand, and I got a chance to spend some time with him when he was here. And he was on the Raising Stand album. He, you know, with Alison Krauss and Robert Plant, and he's on so many.
Yeah,
it's been in my top 10 albums of all time. And T-Bone obviously produced that album. And I remember asking, so what's it like, you know, what's T-Bone like as a producer? And he said, honestly, like, he puts his team together and then he walks away. Like, he said, I get called in and he says, you know, tells me kind of what he wants. And then he's like, but you know, here's the songs, hands off. And he doesn't see him again.
Yeah.
Yeah, he goes, I didn't see him again. And so I just spent the day laying my tracks the way I wanted to lay them, and then the album came out, you know. And
wow.
And you know, some people might argue, I hear people say things like about Rick Rubin, oh, he's not a real producer, he doesn't even play an instrument, how can you really be? And I'm like, you clearly don't know what a producer does. There are different levels of and different processes, but I think that the number one job of a producer is you're only as good as the team you put together.
Yes.
And the level of trust that's in the room and with the team that you assemble and work with. And clearly there's a huge level of trust between him and Greg, for instance. And knowing, you know, his job as the producer is finding the person who's going to be perfect for this album, you know, and letting them be who they are and bring what you've hired them to bring.
And we talked a little bit about COVID and touring.
Oh my God, the anxiety is real, eh?
Yeah.
Because it's all it takes is one person, not even me, like one person in the band to get sick and there go all your shows that, you know, and it's such a huge investment right now going overseas. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Flights are like triple the amount. It's just crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. I'm like, why am I touring in a pandemic? Oh yeah, a new album. I have to.
You're doing a big tour coming down to Otipote. And when is it, August 18th?
Is it? You tell me.
Let me pull out my sheet.
I do know it's August. I just don't know which date because we have a whole bunch of dates.
Yeah, you have a call. And you're doing it with the Auckland Philharmonic, except for in Christchurch, where you have the Christchurch Symphony Orchestra, right?
Well, what we're doing is, so we have the APO in Auckland, the CSO in Christchurch, but then all of the other dates, Dunedin, and a lot of the other regional dates are with Chamber Music New Zealand.
Cool.
So it will be like a string section that will be touring with us. So not quite as expensive as like what a 60-piece orchestra.
So I don't get the 60-piece orchestra down here.
No, you get like you get the string section and you know, you and a free sausage roll. So
cheese roll, thank you very much in the South Island.
I was going to say cheese roll. That's like my whole reason for going to Dunedin. You realize that, right? Like,
oh, no, I do realize that because I had one for the first time 2 years ago and I was like, holy crap, what the, why the hell haven't we figured this out in the North Island yet? This is just.
They should be everywhere.
Yeah. They should. Yeah. By rights. Oh, that's exciting. I'm really looking forward to that. So, I mean, the string thing. You had someone arrange that, right?
So all of the strings and the orchestral parts on the new album were arranged by Victoria Kelly, who is kind of one of our genius composers here in New Zealand. And she's like award-winning and used to work at APRA. So she was an artist liaison for a long time. So, but she's just one of those really much beloved musicians in our community. So
nice.
When I went to record this album, it was like, you know, that she was my first pick wanting to work with her.
Yeah.
Because I feel like she brings a lot of the mana and the same ethos that I do. And I wanted to work with a Wahine composer. So yeah, she's done the arrangements for the live shows and the tour as well.
That's so cool. And what made you go strings? I mean, I know it's a traditional sort of country and 60s feel because it feels very sort of like it sits for me in that place between, I hate saying Phil Spector because he didn't invent it, but you know, that 60s kind of sound and that country sort of the strings just sort of lift it into quite a different space. I mean, even in funk and things like that, it's just a different element that just elevates things and makes it all very spine tingly.
Yeah, it just suddenly becomes really cinematic.
Yes. That's it.
Yeah, I guess it was kind of termed like countrypolitan, you know. It was like this of like country music with orchestral arrangements and
an elevated fiddle.
The violin, darling.
And this is the amazing Bobby Gentry with Papa, Won't You Let Me Go to Town?
Papa, won't you let me go to town with you? Papa, I'm feeling so down and blue. You just gotta come around, please do. Papa, won't you let me go to town with you? There's a blue dress at Dandy's, I'd give the world to see again. I need some hand lotion and some powder from the 5 and 10. Some chocolate and I'll make you a pretty pie. If you don't let me go, I'll just die. Papa, won't you let me go to town with you? Papa, I'm feeling so down and blue. You just gotta come around, please do. Papa, won't you let me go to town with you? Up a pattern, ain't no was making me a dress. I scrubbed it this morning, what do you mean this floor's a mess? I done everything you said, and then some you didn't say to do. You just gotta take me with you. Papa, won't you let me go to town with you? Papa, I'm feeling so down and blue. You just gotta come around, please do. Papa, won't you let me go to town with you? Lucky here, Papa, I found your Sunday shirt. Shined it and I shined it till it looks all brand spanking new. Seems like a year I've been waiting for today. If you let me go, I won't get in your way. Papa, won't you let me go to town? Papa, I'm feeling so down and blue. You just gotta come around, please do. Papa, won't you let me go to town with you?
I was very much aiming for kind of a cinematic Nancy and Lee,
Bobby
Gentry.
Yeah.
You know, Bobby Gentry, Glen Campbell, all of those kind of 60s and 70s country politan kind of acts. And that's a lot of the music I was listening to during lockdown. I'd been asked randomly to do the live performance of Quentin Tarantino's Pulp Fiction and Reservoir Dogs. Yeah, and they performed the whole score live.
Yes.
And when I did that, you know, it just reminded me, you know, so much how I love soundtracks. Growing up, I listened to them almost more than I did just specific albums and artists, you know. I've always loved kind of this journey of a story being told and where every song doesn't have to be the same and or even the same genre. And I think the thing that's kept me from, I mean, strings are obviously, it's a financial thing as well. They're very, it's expensive. It's an expensive venture. But also in the past, it's very much been like, I've always kind of been a stickler for, if I can't recreate it live, I don't want to disappoint the audience. And so if I can't recreate it, then I don't want to have it on the album, or if we can't make it sound like it does on the album, I don't want people to be disappointed. And I think that the pandemic and the removal of touring actually just opened me up creatively to go, the sky's the limit. I can create whatever I want because I can't tour it right now anyway.
So it was just quite liberating in actual fact.
I just thought, I'll make the album that I want to make and not worry about it having to translate live, which of course now becomes very problematic. Because I do have, you know, this was like, you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago when we were in like the throes of lockdown. And I was like, the sky's the limit. I can do whatever I want. And now I'm sure it. And so, just, you know, come to the shows just to see how I handle that.
You reread Dolly's autobiography?
Yeah. Through lockdown, I was reading her. It's out of print now. My Life and Other Unfinished Business, I think it's called. And I had to like find it online. I had looked for a long time for it because I had it when I was a teenager. My mom had it.
Oh my God.
And I remember reading it. Yeah, I remember reading it when it first came out in like the 90s. And then of course we were a touring family. So it, you know, once we moved, it was gone. So yeah, when I went to go and buy it again, it didn't exist anymore and I couldn't find it anywhere. And so I had to kind of look online for like thrift kind of book shops and stuff.
Cool.
So it arrived in my mailbox during lockdown and I read it and reread it. And, it was just so, so good and so enlightening. And there was a chapter particularly that I highlighted because I just loved it. And it was her speaking very candidly, as she does, about being a woman in show business and how she's always underestimated. Because she said people make the mistake of thinking that because I look like a woman, they don't realize that I do business like a man. And that a lot of old boys don't like that, you know. And she goes, I don't ask for anything more. I just ask for what's fair.
Yes.
But when you ask for what's fair in the music business, you're treated like you're asking, like you're screwing them out of a deal kind of thing, just because you're getting what's fair as a female, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, and that page was a direct inspiration for the song "Baby, You're a Gun" that's on the Kingmaker album.
funny. She's very funny. I mean, going to see a show of hers is similar to yours in that it's half stand-up comedy and half, you know, half entertainment and then half tears.
That's right?
Cool. Yeah.
It's a good combo.
Yeah.
It's a disarming combo, eh? Like, that's, absolutely, I think, why the tears are there, because
yes,
you're, like, in the middle of uproarious laughter and then boom, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't expect it coming from...
Speaking of heartbreakers, that first song you released with Willie Nelson was... Yeah.
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 I know.
Right in there.
It's still... And I've heard it a million times now. Mm. And... I can still listen to it and just weep, you know. It's, yeah, for so many reasons.
Mm.
The song itself,
yeah,
being written about the loss of my dad, and I co-wrote it with Delaney Davidson, who had also recently lost his dad. So mm-hmm. we wrote it just about that longing and that missing, mm. of them not being tangible anymore, you know. Yeah. And yeah. So that alone is, you know, a really special song. But then to have the layer of Willie Nelson recording it with me just kind of pushed me over the edge. And that I just, yeah, I can't really cope.
No. Neither can anybody listening to it.
It's too much. It's actually...
Last night I woke from a dream, you and me were together. Tears on my face when I realized that we're still apart. I closed my eyes and I tried to go back to my slumber. The only place that you exist now since you did depart. Beyond the stars I can hear the guitar.
They're calling me up to be with you.
Beyond the velvet sky, darling.
Pull back the curtain of indigo and come and go with me. Follow me up past the moonlight and beyond the sky. I won't let the breath leave my chest without taking you with me. Here in my heart, we will never depart. Darling, we'll fly.
Beyond the stars, can you hear the guitars? They are calling you up to be with me. Beyond the velvet sky, darling. Place you are beyond the stars.
Can country music is full of interesting figures politically and you know, on the spectrum of those things, and he's just always been this righteous stand-up dude along similar lines to Neil Young, I guess, you know, and that he's remained on the right side of things. I don't know, it's and
very much so, and I mean that's why he was like always considered an outlaw.
Yeah.
You know, that's his music is known as outlaw music because he was always painting outside the lines of Nashville and in a country music industry that was built on white supremacy and misogyny and about keeping anyone other than powerful white men out of it.
Yeah.
To this day, unfortunately, it still is very prevalent in that genre of music, more so than any other.
Yeah.
And really has always bucked that, you know?
Yeah.
There's always this thing with like really massive celebrities. Like you're just like, and then you meet them and you're like, you're just a person. And he was so lovely and so charming and just so down to earth as well. Like he's exactly what you think he is.
Yeah.
You know, there's no other side to Willie Nelson. Like he is who he's such a genuine person.
Yeah.
And very, very authentic, you know? And if you did not know who he was, you would just think he was a good old Texas boy that was like charming and lovely and kind, and there was no ego. You know, he, and so once we got chatting and then we ran the song and he like stopped at one point and he turned to me and he just like with those eyes, he just goes, that's a good line right there.
Oh man.
Like,
thank you. You got that great line about I want to be her when I grow up, which actually incidentally reminds me of Peaches, the girls want to be her, the boys want to be her. Which when I first heard that song, I was like, that's so confronting. No men want to be women. And then I was like, whoa, that's messed up. Like that I even just had that conscious thought, and how liberating and awesome that that's such a great statement. And Samantha Bee uses it in her show as well. But so who did you want to be?
First of all, I love that. I hadn't heard that line.
Oh, right.
I was just having a conversation with my 7-year-old son the other day, and he was talking like he's a total Avengers Marvel universe, you know, fanatic. Yeah. And we were discussing the Avengers and he was the coolest.
Yeah.
And he said to me, I said, so who, like, if you could pick your favorite Avenger, who would it be? And he goes, it would have to be Black Widow.
Ooh.
And I'm like, really? I was kind of surprised. I'm like, why is that? And he's like, well, first of all, like she's the only girl Avenger, so she's different. And he said, but also she's the only one that doesn't have superpowers. And she is just as strong and smart and fierce as the rest of them, but she doesn't have to rely on superpowers. She's just really strong and amazing. And I'm like, so she doesn't have to worry because she won't lose her superpowers. Nothing can stop her. And I'm like, yes, I'm doing a good job.
Yeah, I was going to say, did your ego explode at that point?
I was so proud at that moment about this like conversation about Avengers.
I'm proud of you.
But for me, like, of course, I'd love to be Black Widow when I grow up. But I mean, when I say like, I want to be her when I grow up is I want to be the version of me that doesn't care about other people's opinions.
Yeah.
But to me, that person is, and we've already talked about her, but Dolly Parton is very much that person. And it's also, you know, the women in my life that I love and admire, you know, and it's crazy. I mean, he's not a woman, but like my husband is one of those people that does not care what people think. And it's amazing to me. Yeah. And it's one of the things I think I find most attractive about him. While we were recording the album, I bought myself and Victoria, who was the one that did all the string arrangements.
Yeah.
These necklaces. And it's this amazing artist that does these like custom necklaces in the States of like words. And cool. It's the word that I got for us was feral. And we wore these necklaces. And it's so funny because when I wear it, people are like, feral, you're like the least feral person I know. Like you're always like makeup and hair and that. And, you know, and I'm like, that's not what I'm, I guess like there are different meanings to what we think of as feral.
Yeah.
But feral, when you boil down the essence of the word, means to walk outside the boundaries of civilization, to walk outside of what's deemed appropriate and acceptable and civilized.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I say, like, I wear this necklace as like a reminder to strive for this.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Strive to be feral.
It's fantastic. I love that. I think that's what like goes back to what we were talking about with Dolly. Like when you appear very high femme, which I think all three of us probably fall into that territory. Yes. I think people take that for granted that you don't have grit or that you're not ballsy or that you don't have a feral side to you. That's, I feel hope for this next generation that are coming up that don't.
Yes, like little boys who think Black Widow is the coolest yes. Avenger. Yes.
Well done on that. Yeah, I think you can hang your boots up and you're done now.
My work is done here.
Work is done here.
Go out into the world, seven-year-old.
You're on your own.
Pull your weight. You've got 7 years.
Yeah. Oh, well, thanks for taking the time. Thank you so much for talking about your album. I'm so excited. I can't wait for the rest of it to come out.
Thanks for chatting.
Yeah, it was really nice. Oh, what Dolly song would you like to play?
Oh, God. I think a great one, kind of in keeping with what we've been talking about, is Just Because I'm a Woman. Great. It's one of her really early, it's kind of a deeper cut, but yeah.
I can see you're disappointed by the way you look at me, and I'm sorry that I'm not the woman you thought I'd be. Yes, I've made my mistakes, but listen and understand, my mistakes are no worse than yours just because I'm a woman. So when you look at me, don't feel sorry for yourself. Just think of all the shame you might have brought somebody else. Just let me tell you this, then we'll both know where we stand. Mistakes are no worse than yours just because I'm a woman. Now a man will take a good girl and he'll ruin her reputation, but when he wants to marry, well, that's a different situation. He'll just walk off and leave her to do the best she can, while he looks for an angel to wear his wedding band. Now I know that I'm no angel, if that's what you thought you'd found. Down. Yes, I've made my mistakes, but listen and understand, my mistakes are no worse than than yours just because I'm a woman. No, my mistakes are no worse than yours just because I'm a woman.
Much, man. It's so nice seeing you. And I look forward seeing you with the orchestra as well when you're down here.
I know. We'll see you in August. Not too long to go.
I know, right? Good luck.
Better learn the songs.
Yeah.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.